Kwe, hello, bonjour. My name is Corey White Duck, and you are listening to Pisaysin.
Pisaysin. Out there when I was young, this community was a very poor community. There was not much work around, so a lot of the people, if they wanted to have a sleigh or something, they'd make their own. Needed snowshoes, they'd make them. Canoes, go fishing, whatever they wanted. They had to make because there was no work here.
That is the voice of Pinuk from Kitigan-Zibi Anishinaabeg. He is our guest today, and he has graciously accepted to share with us his knowledge about canoe building.
He says.
Now, you are one of the, what I'll call, Jedi masters in the community when it comes to specifically canoe building.
I do work on canoes, but I wouldn't say master, because in our nation, there was never a master, really. We all had that knowledge for survival. At childbirth, when your mother carried you around, your education was starting. So at that time, you seen everything was going on around you, so you were being taught by example. So it was a look, listen, and learn method of teaching. So when it was your turn to do something, that knowledge was already there.
Now take us back. How did you get started into learning how to make canoes or even making native items when you were young?
You know, people started late 50s and all 60s, started going to the States to work and a lot of different places. Then money started coming in. So at that point, people started to buy things. And then again, we lost a lot of our culture from that period. So I was quite fortunate in a way, being born at that time in a poor community, because I was exposed to all these things. I seen people doing them. There was John Dubious make canoes, was my neighbor, you know, and it was my grandfather used to make them, family. There was other people on the res doing different things. For Mrs. Ottawa, I used to do watch her making tanning hides and stuff. So from the school of life is where I picked it up. It's within the community.
Besides making canoes, what other skills and talents do you have?
I don't know. I do a little bit of things that pertain to our culture. I do sleighs, toboggans, snowshoes, paddles, axe handles, cradle boards, assorted drums, do a little carving, tanning hides, a little bit of everything. Because I was, like I said earlier, I was exposed to it within the community. You know, people were still living that lifestyle at the time, and then I was fortunate to be around.
What does making those things mean to you? Or what does showing other people how to make these things mean to you?
I personally like making those things because it gives me pride in my ancestors. Because those things I'm making, they're not a French, German, English design. That's a North American native design. So all these things, if you ever look at something that our ancestors invented, like the canoe, for example, or a snowshoe or something, and it's simple in the selection of the material and in the simplicity of his design. It's quite, you know, remarkable how intelligent these people were to do that, you know, to make a canoe with no tools. They had no metal this part of the country. We had just bone and stone. Yet they made a canoe because they selected the right material to do it. You were able to do the work with the cedar, the ash, or just by splitting it. So you didn't need the tools. And also they were very, very...
Very resourceful.
Very. You know, to live in a harsher environment that we're in and still survive very, very well. You know, they had the technology and everything to do it. I'm always very proud of them when I do something like that. It gives you pride in your ancestors, pride in your culture, because culture is who you are. And then once you learn your own culture and like that, because true life, true history and everything, we're always put down as the lazy, drunken, dirty Indian, you know. And if you hear that over and over and over again all your life, at some point, you know, you start to doubt yourself a little bit. You know, you might say, maybe you're right. But then when you work at something that pertains to your culture and was made by your ancestors and stuff, you start taking pride in your ancestors. And that in turn gives you pride in who you are as well. You know? So it's important that we learn a little bit of our culture. Unfortunately, we lost most of it. You know, we got some, but very little compared to what, you know, we wouldn't be able to survive in the bush today, you know, because it's not because of the knowledge. It's more because of the environmental changes as well. Everything getting rough. The worst thing in the work that I do, of all the things I work with, it's getting the material to do it. It's becoming difficult to get birch bark for canoes. You can't find trees. And if you do find them, with the global warming, I guess, and the pollution, it affects the bark a lot. So you don't have the quality that our ancestors had. The birch bark was very important to us because it provided us with our mode of transportation, our habitation. It did everything. We were cooking pots. Everything was made out of birch bark, you know. So all the East Coast natives were very dependent on birch bark because it was easy to manipulate. And it was plentiful.
What is your hope for the future in regards to the skills and the knowledge you have?
I hope that some people take it up, you know, keep it. Hopefully that the environment changes a little bit, you know, we start realizing where we're heading and start make a change, try and let nature heal itself a little bit, you know, and we can get back decent bark and stuff, you know. But right now, at the rate we're going, there's not going to be any bark left in a few years, you know. What's nice about materials I use, though, if I was able to harvest bark and stuff now, and I stored it in a cool place. 20 years down the road, if you wanted to make a canoe and there's no bark around, you could say, maybe Pinocchio has some, I'll go check in his garage, because that material will still be good.
It has that shelf life.
It does have it, because canoes last for 100 years old, and I've repaired old canoes that were 100 years old. Material's all good, it's because people dropped them. You know, that's why I say, when you look at things that our ancestors made, the selection material, the design, simple design, don't need no measuring tape, no lasers, no nothing. You know, you just start building, it's freestyle, you know, totally. There's no two canoes the same, they're all different.
Well, there's a certain beauty in that. I mean, everything nowadays is cut and paste. Just make one and then they all the same.
No. These are all individual. I couldn't make two canoes for you if my life depended on it, you know, because I like to leave them go freestyle. I don't abrupt them. If you order a 14-foot canoe, you might get a 15-footer or 13-9, whatever. You know, it depends on the material that I have. It's very individual. Each one of them is individual. You know, it's your, you know, and the thing is, the canoe seems to come together by itself. You know, there's very few rules to it. You know, it's like, once you know how to manipulate the material, the design is very simple. You know, it's what you see in one half of a canoe, you'll see on the other half, you know, and the amount of ribs is always consistent, the distance between the thwarts is consistent, you know, so it's a very simple design, yet very ingenious the way that things put together. There's no nails, no glue, no screws using these things. It's all pressure held, you know, so when you do that, or take a minute to look at it, let's come back to our ancestors. I really appreciate your intelligence.
I'm going to ask you a series of 5 rapid-fire questions, and basically you just tell me which one you'd prefer.
Okay, no problem.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Moose meat or deer meat?
Moose.
Sea pie or beans?
Sea pie, I guess.
And white birch or golden birch?
White.
Because
that's what I use.
Can you use golden birch at all?
The yellow birch, that's the bark is very thin on that. And it comes out just in little slivers, like you can't really use it. It's the only, white birch is the only one that you can actually use, get off in a big piece, you know, like a big, a long piece. Because traditionally our canoes are all made one piece of bark.
And I know you do a lot of events, especially here in the community, showing your skills and knowledge to the future generations. But if anybody wanted to get in contact with you, maybe gain some of this knowledge, how could they do so?
Go to www.pinocchio.ca and you'll find some of the information there. There's my address, telephone number, etc.
Well, Kichime Gwech, for coming in today, Pinocchio, letting us know what it is you do, and all the best going forward in the future.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And that was Pinocchio from Kitigonzebe Anishinaabeg. Miigwech to CKWE and Corey White Duck for recording this teaching. Miigwech to Sam Yun for the music. And Kichi Miigwech to all of you for listening. My name is Corey White Duck, and this is Pisces. Pisces is a project initiated by Minwashin.